This episode is brought to you by The Black Agenda. No, nigga, you can't have everything.
Yes, you can.
And now let's get the show started. Faces.
I'm sorry.
So what's up, Destiny?
A lot is up, but I just want to know, like, why Lamar Odom, why? Why are you doing this to yourself?
I don't know if he's doing it to himself. Like, you know, some people just have a problem. If he's one of those people that has a problem, I mean, I think that the Kardashians are exploiting him and exploiting his disease and exploiting his addiction.
So for those of you who don't know, Lamar Odom was found unconscious in a brothel. When was this, on Monday?
I heard that he was found unconscious in a brothel and he was like in a coma or something like that. And Chloe was at his bedside or something, but she was like Snapchatting the whole event or something like that.
And recording it. And, you know, I feel bad because, you know, there's clearly something wrong.
Mm-hmm. And rather than, you know, try to get this man help, and even if they are getting this man some help, they're just still going about it the wrong way. But what more can you expect from the Kardashian family, you know?
I expect them not to record a dying man.
Well, then I guess you expect the devil not to be the devil, Kris Jenner.
And that may be a little bit too much, right? I may be expecting too much. I'm sorry. But what I really want to know is why is Al Sharpton at his bedside? I didn't even know that was a thing. Why?
I don't know. What is Al Sharpton doing at his bedside?
That's what I want to know.
Oh, I don't know.
Is he Snapchatting too?
He might be. I don't know.
I just think that it's too soon after the Million Man March for people to be acting like this.
Mm-hmm. Was he at the Million Man March?
Yes. Oh. And now he's at Lamar Odom's bedside. You actually hopped on a plane and said, you know what, I'm going to visit this man in the hospital because he is sick. And okay. He needs me. He clearly needs me. So I'm going to go and hold his hand.
And my kid. And my brain needs me and my kid and my process.
Me and these straight locks. He needs all of this. So I don't know. I'm just a little bit confused about why this man is being exploited. Why is his condition being plastered across CNN and Fox News? Mm-hmm. Why?
Right. And he was made to be like such a bad guy when all of this first came out. How long has it been? It's been some years. Like, this has been going on over the course of some years. I can't really look up because
my hair is getting in my eyes.
I understand. So I have to look up. I'm sorry. It's my fault for just wanting to make eye contact with you.
I mean, anyway. That normal people do that, but today I can't do this because the style of my hair is not permitting me to look people in the eyes. But yeah, I just think that, would it be crazy if Khloe Kardashian was like, oh, hey, Lamar, you want to come over for some drinks? And then Kris drugged him and then placed his body at the brothel.
And set him
does
up.
Does that sound far-fetched?
Not really.
I don't know. I just think that they just dragging the hell out of this black man. And that we just, it doesn't need to be like that. This man got a family. He got kids. Why are we doing this?
Right. It seems like all the other black men were able to, you know, escape the Kardashian clutches, but this one.
And overcome.
Yes.
They persevered.
They actually did. They went on to live better, fuller lives. I guess in some ways, the Kardashian family might be like, you remember that Dan Cook movie? This is Dan Cook movie. I can't think of the name of it right now, but he wanted to get married or whatever, but he couldn't get married. But every girl that he came into contact with, and when they did it, the girl would break up with him and then go get married to whoever they want to. So it became like a thing. And, you know, the secret was out. All the women knew that, hey, if you hook up with this guy, you'll marry the guy that you really want to marry. So I feel like maybe the Kardashians might be that gateway. Because, I mean, look at Reggie Bush. Reggie Bush went and found him his own little... Kim Kardashian. What's the dude name? Oh, well, wasn't it? He didn't go on to win any games. That basketball player that she was with, and he pushed her in the pool. That's the one, not the pool, but a lake or a river, wherever they went. He pushed Kim into a body of water, and she was upset, and she lost her ring, and it was a big thing. And I turned the channel because I knew right then that that wasn't something that I needed to be watching. It's every time I turn to the Kardashians, like a reaffirmation of not something I need to be watching.
I mean, I don't think anybody needs to be watching that shit, but whatever.
You know, because, you know, they're the first family, according to, what's that, Cosmopolitan? They're the first family.
I don't think that that's a thing. And I'm tired. I'm tired of people making things that aren't things.
Because it's not a thing.
It's not. Well, moving along, you know, we were going to talk about something else. Oh. You know, we're going to talk about politics, but we were going to talk about different aspects. It's not going to be like your traditional conversation. But then from that conversation, it turned into another conversation. So instead of talking about what I plan to talk about, which was the broken promises that Obama has made to the people in the United States, especially black people, we can go on and on and on and play the blame game and point the finger. But at the end of the day, I don't think that that's going to help us as a culture of people. So what I do want to talk about is what we need to do and what a presidency really means for black people. So I guess to start it off, there is a black agenda that was put in place when Obama was running back in, I think, 2007, when he was doing his campaigns and he was doing the, you know, the speeches or whatever.
Right.
And the town halls and all that stuff. And he was talking about how he was going to make things better for black people. And, you know, needless to say, that never happened.
Right.
However, that's not his fault.
Right.
Because he was never going to do that. He was never going to do that. He is not in a position to do that. You know, of course, on these campaign trails and in these debates and on these town hall meetings and these rallies, political officials, they basically say what they think that we want to hear. But in reality, there's already an agenda set in place.
Right.
So with that being said, we have to take responsibility. We, as in the black people, as in the black community, we have to take responsibility for what's happening to us because nobody else is. You know, I was listening to another round when they were interviewing Hillary.
Hillary Clinton, yeah. That was a good interview.
It was. It was good. But
I thought it was, like, informative. Like, it was a little eye-opening, you know, because I don't really follow politics like that. But when I was hearing, I guess, with what she was saying about the Clinton administration and how Al Sharpton, again, and they were talking about, like, cracking down on drug laws and gun policies and different things, all these things that actually target the black community, and how they're still having to do a cleanup from back when Clinton was in office, and how it's like we're so blind, and oh, you know, we got this cool president, and Bill Clinton's like the closest thing we've ever had to a black president, but we're being rocked to sleep, and all these things are happening, all these laws are being set in place that are out there, but we are just so distracted and blinded by other things that we can't seem to see it. And then when we get our black president, it's like, ooh, you know, that's all we need. It was basically like another distraction. And I feel like that black president was enough for us in a sense. Like, we were like, oh, okay, well, we made it. We got it. Here's our black president. Now we can kick our feet up. Finally, you know, reparations will begin. But that's where the work actually began. When he started running for president, you know, and I'm guilty of this too. So this is not like a condemning thing or like a blame game or anything like that. But that was the time for us to really do our research, to really do our studying and find out about politics and what we need to do and start knocking on these doors and really, you know, riding Obama, you know what I'm saying? Really saying, hey, what about this? What about this? Staying in his ear, because everybody else has done it and everybody else has gotten what they wanted.
When you talk about, you know, knocking on doors and going out and rallying or whatever in your community.
And that happens. Like, I'm not saying that that doesn't happen. That happens.
No, I'm saying that when that does happen, you're trying to get the attention of the president, right?
Right.
It's not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we as Black people have to do it the old-fashioned grassroots way. We have to actually get in the trenches and do the work ourselves. We say, hey, Obama's going to create jobs, when in actuality, people create jobs, not the government. So it's up to us to start opening businesses. It's up to us to start getting out here and doing the things that these other cultures do for themselves. They don't, other them, the Arabs. The Arabs.
Okay. Well, okay.
You know how, like, they're really, really big on family. And they're really big on business. And you'll see a lot of times in their communities, they'll have 68,000 people living in one big old house. And that's how they do.
Right.
Because they're family oriented. They have a business or several businesses between them. And that's how they work.
And it's like within 2 years, they're owning businesses. They're driving these nice cars. They're living in nice houses.
But they all live together.
Yeah.
Nobody was like, oh, I want my own house. The only time you ever see anybody live, you know, separate is when they're starting their own family.
Mm-hmm.
And still, when they move, they bring in 30 niggas with them.
Right. Because, yeah, it's like they send one over here and they bring like 30,000.
And that's how they do. That's the difference between our culture as Black people and other cultures. I'm not going to say that there's not Black people that do that, because there are, but it's not enough. We can't sit up here and say, hey, Barack, why haven't you created jobs for us? No, we haven't created jobs for us. You know, so we need to get up off our asses and we need to do these things for ourselves. Me and Lewis have created jobs for ourselves, which we hope to one day expand, but we are Black business owners, you know? So at the end of the day, We've created this for our people, for our culture, to help better our community.
Right.
You know, we cannot leave it up to politicians and to presidential elections, because it's not going to happen. I've never voted because I've always known, you know, from when I was younger, that our vote doesn't count in the way that we think it is.
Right.
You know?
Like, yeah, I think with that was like the thing, though, you know, go out and vote, for
all
this Black man.
All they wanted was numbers.
Right.
They didn't really have anything to do with, you know, when they explained to you their reason for vote, it was because of change and hope.
Right. And, you know,
we
all went out and voted. Like,
but I didn't go out and vote. And my mom was actually upset with me, because she was like, we finally got a Black president running and you ain't going to go out and vote. But I'm trying to explain to her, Mom, it's not like what you think. And I'm not finna be standing in them lines. And it's cold outside. And it's after Halloween or whatever. And I'm trying to get ready for tax season. I'm not finna be standing out here in these lines doing that for nothing.
And it's like, you know, we were so focused on Obama that, you know, we just all went in these voting booths, and that's the only name that we were able to punch. We didn't know anything about any of these other candidates and any of these other branches of legislation.
And what they stood for and anything. What they were trying to do.
Right.
We didn't know anything.
All
we knew as Black people is we were going to vote Black.
Right.
We were going to vote Black. So whoever was in there.
And see, that's the beauty of it, too. Like, I look at that. Like, there's something within that that's positive. Like, look at what Black people can do when they come together. You know what I'm saying? Like, never has there been a time where so many Black people have gotten out and voted, because Black people always say, oh, well, I ain't going to vote, or whatever reason, or how they try to stop us from voting, whether, you know, it be like pegging a felony on us, you know, for like carrying like a roach, having a roach of marijuana in the car, or whatever. They pin a felony on us to prevent us from voting. But see, the real reason, because I think the smaller votes count, right? Like when you vote for your mayor, your governor,
Your city council. Your
city councils. Those votes count, and those votes aren't even as made public.
Yeah, they're not. They're not highly publicized.
Right.
You know, and they never have been.
And you see a whole bunch of white people, old white people, standing in these long lines, you know, voting for these people.
Mm-hmm, because they want the city to run the way that they want the city to run.
Exactly.
To run.
Right.
But we don't, it hasn't been publicized in our community mm-hmm. to where we figure, you know, oh, we don't need to elect city officials because who are they?
Right.
We don't go to these city council meetings within our communities because for what? Why would we?
Mm-hmm.
But white folks do. Yep. And they will stand up and they will tell you their issues and what they're going to do about it if you don't do nothing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what we don't do.
Right.
So, yeah, we can sit here and we can sit up and think, okay, yeah, when we check this box, everything's going to be great. No, it's not.
Mm-hmm.
We have to work within ourselves.
Right.
We have to do this work. We cannot rely on other people to pacify us
mm-hmm.
because it's not going to happen.
Right.
You see more than ever black men and women getting slain in the street
mm-hmm.
by these police officers
right.
and by each other.
Mm-hmm.
You see that more now than ever.
Right.
So with that being said, I just think that we need to hold the responsibility, and we need to be held accountable for why we don't have the things that we want.
And I
want
to say, like, this is scary to me, too, is that I feel like white people, in a sense, said, okay, well, here's your black president. You know what I'm saying? What are you going to do with him? Okay, you got all these white people. Oh, Obama ain't doing nothing. Oh, Obamacare is crap. Oh, you know, he's black. We need this nigga out of office. But this was in a way saying, okay, we gave you your black president. You didn't do nothing with him. He didn't do nothing essentially. What could he do after all the previous presidents came and messed everything up and they expect him to fix it in 8 years? He can't do that either. But it's like, okay, we gave you your black president. You didn't do nothing. Now you got to do it our way because we showed you what having a black president was like and you didn't know what to do with it. You didn't know how to handle it. And now everything is messed up. I'm saying that. It was like a setup.
Yeah, but here's the thing. If you understand that there's already an agenda set in place,
mm-hmm.
it was never going to go our way anyway.
I mean,
you see
but
what
I'm thinking it could. Like, if we had have known
or
if we had educated ourselves a little bit more, maybe it could have went a different way.
I don't think it was going to go a different way. I think that the agenda was already set in place. Everybody already knew what role that they were going to play and what they were going to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
They made it seem like we had control and we had power. But mm-hmm. really, in all actuality, they are doing what they wanted to do anyway.
Anyway, okay, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'll give you that, yeah, definitely.
They're doing what they wanted. So it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
They can say that with this presidential election, like, he was basically a scapegoat for something bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah, you can say all you want to. Oh, we gave you a black president and you ain't do nothing with him. But at the end of the day, it wasn't even set up like that anyway.
Mm-hmm.
We were always going to lose. We were always going to fail because we are so content with white people running this country the way it is. We are so content with the way things are. We
mm-hmm.
think just because we're able to do what white folks do that we're equal.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not.
Mm-hmm. And they keep reminding us of that every day.
And some people are fine with that. Some people are absolutely fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are like, yeah, I got this. Good job.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Now I could do what they do. I could buy their cars. I can go and build a house in their neighborhood instead
mm-hmm.
of saying, hey, I got this good job. How can I benefit my community?
Mm-hmm.
How can I make it so that with this money that they're paying me, that I can build up something for myself and
right.
my community so I won't have to work for them forever.
Right.
But I can actually work for myself.
And ever notice, too, like when black people try to start moving in that direction as far as wanting to do for self, wanting to create something for self, wanting to have a movement, wanting to be recognized, all these other distractions and obstacles come up. Prime example, Black Lives Matter. No, All Lives Matter. No, Black Lives Matter. All this pushback. Every time, you know, we have an issue within the black community, but then it's like we get distracted or we get pulled in different directions with other people and their problems, white feminism, white women
mm-hmm.
and their feminism, or, you know, feminism, LGBT, not to knock any of these, but it's like we can't really help ourselves because we're become too busy so focused on everybody else's issues.
Helping everybody else in their issues and not isolating ours.
And
ours are important.
Ours are important. And again, I think that speaks highly of Black people because look at us. We always got our arms out and we always walk forward to these people with our arms stretched out, wanting to hug them, and we get knocked in the face.
Yeah, but that goes back to post-traumatic slavery disorder because that's how we were treated as slaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we got our baby snatched from us,
mm-hmm.
we still had to mother theirs.
Exactly.
You know?
Right.
When we were on the block or whatever, the auction block,
mm-hmm.
we still had to move on and move forward and do what we had to do.
Mm-hmm.
When we're seeing that people are being sold.
Snatched from us. Yeah, our mothers, our fathers, our children,
our brothers,
sisters, getting snatched from us. And now we got to go suck it up, mm-hmm. and work for this white man, clean his house, work in his fields.
And we better smile while we're doing it.
Like Serena Williams, you saw how mm-hmm. they did her?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why aren't you smiling? Why aren't you happy today?
I'm tired. What the fuck?
It's 3:30 in the morning and you ask me the same questions? I'm ready to go home, kick my feet up, and listen to Hotline Bling.
And so he can sing me Hotline Bling. That's my favorite song. But bitch, wouldn't you be tired?
Right. It's like they still expect so much out of us.
Why aren't you smiling?
And would that go towards, because, you know, Black people, I think we do hold ourselves at an impossible standard that we cannot absolutely meet. But at the same time, it's because it's what's expected of us. You know what I'm saying? Because they pull so much out of us, whether it be for these nominations in these movies, whether it be for playing basketball, jump as high as you can, run as fast as you can, football. You see all these Black athletes. You see all these Black movie stars. They work, and then they finally get a Heisman. They work, finally get an Emmy,
Oscar. But we have to work three times as hard.
Black tax. We got to work extra hard just to get equal to what they have.
But we're not equal. So that's why I don't understand Black people. We are. We dominate any field. Like any field created, we dominate that shit.
Exactly. But they would have you to think that, oh, we're so aggressive and we're savages and we're animals.
But really, they got the head start.
Exactly.
And they're always going to have the head start. And they're never going to let us catch up to them. Because when we do catch up to them,
mm-hmm. it's going to be over. It's over. Exactly.
So that's why they're always going to have the head start. And we're always going to be treated the way we are treated until we do something better. Black people, let's just be Black people. Why are we trying to be white people? Why are we trying to be like Asians? Why are we trying to be like all these other cultures
mm-hmm.
instead of trying to be like who we are?
Because ultimately, well,
just surrender.
Right. We're the trendsetters.
Let go.
We're the trendsetters. We're the leaders. Like, Black people are natural born leaders.
We have
all these gifts, all these talents.
But we lazy. People, we won't do the work to keep what we created.
And I hate to say it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it's like,
we won't do the work. They'll go out and do the work. That's why they can snatch anything from us.
And we feel like, oh, you know, they owe us something, you know, all mm-hmm. of this stuff. But we still, that same mentality that we got to pick up, move on, stretch $20 in
that's
a month.
That's a gift. People can't do that. That is a superpower to make $20 last the whole month.
Come on. Like, we have it in us.
That's a superpower.
It's like we just really need... We're finally waking up, though. You know, we're slowly, gradually happening, but...
But it's not enough. Yeah. It's not enough to produce a change mm-hmm. yet.
Yeah.
But it can be.
Yeah. We gotta get past these smoke screens. These smoke and mirrors, they place these distractions in front of us.
Because them smoke and mirrors be playing the shit out of everybody.
And it's like, now they're getting more obvious. You know what I'm saying? You know, you got these young Black men killed in the streets, and they bring up a Rachel Dolezal. You know, you got this movement going on with these activists, and now you want to determine whether or not Sean King is white. You see the domino effect of that? First Rachel Dolezal, now you're questioning Sean King. But Sean King is doing his best to help out the Black community. He's in these rallies. He's in
protests. Some could say the same about Rachel Dolezal.
But Rachel Dolezal is lying somewhere. Like, she's lying right now.
She's lying everywhere.
Exactly. Like, she's doing
from that education that she got to that badass weave.
You could tell the way that weave was pointing, tilting on this axis, that she was lying.
Bitch, you lying.
But I'm saying, like, And it's black people doing this stuff. Oh, well, you know, Rachel may not be that bad. Rachel's doing more stuff for black people. What are you talking about? It's black people attacking Sean King. Oh, he ain't black.
Well, we not too sure, though, because the Rachel Dolezal came first.
But see, that was the bigger distraction that started this domino effect. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think that even if you want to feed into the distractions, still be on your shit. Don't say, oh, he ain't doing nothing for us, and then go and sit down and eat you a bag of popcorn and watch Scandal.
Right, exactly. Because why are you talking all this junk on Twitter about whether Sean King is white?
You're not doing anything for your community.
Hello.
You're not doing anything. At least we can say, hey, we have a podcast to enlighten people. Mm-hmm. You know, enlighten black people. Raise black, awareness. White, whatever. Mm-hmm. Whatever you want to call it. Raise awareness that's going on within us. You know, it has nothing to do with this is just for black people. No, it's for anybody who wants to listen. But we're going to talk about our issues.
Exactly.
We can't talk about white issues because we're not white.
And black.
And we don't have the same issues.
Black issues need to be recognized. There's something now where they're trying to, I don't know if it's going to take effect because a lot of people were like, no, that's crap. Something about, you know, let's stop saying, oh, this was the first black so-and-so. No, these are the things that need to be heard. Yes. Viola Davis is the first black woman to win an Emmy.
In how many years?
66.
See,
a daytime Emmy.
That's why we have to say, we have to remind people that, okay, it's been 66 years since we got one of these.
Right. And that was just a nomination. That was a black woman was nominated 66 years ago. This black woman, Viola Davis. No. And then you got, you see all of that support, all of that love. That's what we need right now. Taraji, again, was like, yo, get up there. This is it. This is it. You know what I'm saying? And it's all baby steps to me, I think, but at least we're moving in the right direction, you know? So I'm just like, come on, like, we can do this.
I just feel like, you know, no matter who wins, Trump, Hillary, Ben.
If Trump wins, I'm sorry.
I mean, but it's not going to change anything. He going to get up there and find out that he really ain't calling no shots either, Trump, the businessman. Because he doesn't even come from politics. So you know damn well he don't know what the fuck you doing. He's being advised by the people around him, but he gonna get into that White House and see that they already have a plan for him, and he better go up there and say what they need him to say, or else he's getting impeached.
And I think like the biggest exposure that the government ever had was when Bush was in office. All that stuff that went down.
Yeah, 9/11. But I think that the American people needed to see that. It happened when it was supposed to happen. Mm-hmm. But it was enough for me to be like, you know what, I ain't falling for this presidential election bullshit. Mm-hmm. I haven't yet, and I'm not going to. I'm not going to vote, no matter if you think it's bullshit, then I'm not going to vote. I'm still not going to do it, because I know too much about politics and to fall for the hype. Mm-hmm. You know, that doesn't mean that I hate everybody who's going to go out and vote. No, you vote for yourself. You vote for the reasons that you have within yourself. But me, Destiny, not voting, because I already know how they get down. Mm-hmm. And I know that I have to do what I got to do for my community in my community before I rely on anybody's presidential election to come save me. Mm-hmm. And that's what black people do. We rely too much on other people to come save us when we're not even saving ourselves.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think that we have a lot of work to do.
And
we have to be held accountable, and we have to hold people accountable. Mm-hmm. We have to put whatever president that we do get, we have to put their ass to the fire. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's going to be some minute changes, but it's going to be changes because more and more people, like you said earlier, are waking up.
Right.
It's not enough to me, but more and more people are waking up, and they're not falling for the bullshit.
Yeah. And it's so, like, we're calling it out. That's what's beautiful about Twitter.
More people need to call it out.
Social media.
More people need to raise awareness on this microaggression shit. Mm-hmm. More people need to stop being timid and stop being scared, you know, of losing their job, because you can't.
Right.
You can't have both.
It's like they hold these jobs over you, man.
And it's not everything. If they don't give you no job, fucking make your own. Yeah, everybody has something that they know how to do.
Watermelorina, there's a job out there for you.
Watermelon Drea.
Don't listen to what Raven is saying. There's a job out there for you.
Yeah, there may not be a job out there for her.
Yo, I was listening to The Read yesterday, and they were saying how old she looks. So I Google her, and she does not look well. Like, she does not
She's
look well.
She's probably eating a lot of pork. You know, pork makes you mentally unhealthy.
She does. I don't know. And oh,
if,
my gosh.
And like, if you don't eat right, you can't think right.
Yeah.
So people Google that anthrax is in your lamb that you're eating, because there is clearly anthrax in lamb.
Oh my goodness. But,
so Google that shit. Don't take my word for it. Yeah. Google it.
But things are happening. Look, Ava DuVernay, she's on the cover of Elle magazine. She's the first black woman director to win an Oscar. She's on the, like, things are out here happening. You
Wait,
know what I'm
who
saying?
Is she?
Ava DuVernay, she directed Selma. oh my gosh.
I understand.
She's a big time director. She's directed a lot of movies.
Why can't she be on the cover of a magazine that we've created?
This is true, but
why can't our black magazines be publicized like Elle and People and Tomorrow and Today and Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Like, why can't we have our own magazine to showcase our own black people?
This is true.
They have theirs. It's like it's an accolade or it's an accomplishment when we make
to
it
be on
theirs.
White magazine. But, and you know what? Jay Nova said something. She was like, why is it that these black R&B artists have to cross over? You never hear about a white artist having to cross over.
No,
but
Taylor
black
Swift did
R&B
that shit.
Artists have to cross over to the pop charts.
Wait, but Taylor Swift changed her whole genre of music.
I don't understand. But she was always a pop artist. She was
country
pop. Was she country or just country pop?
There's no such thing as country pop.
You sure?
It's country.
They'll make a position.
They will. And when Taylor is doing her damn, never mind. Let's not talk about her.
Yeah, but no, I'm just saying, like, yeah, black people still have to cross over. You know what I'm saying?
In order to be heard,
right?
But that's, I mean, but that's because there's not enough support within our community for them to stay in the genre that they want to do. Mm-hmm. If you doing this
and
your
white
blood,
people are still in R&B.
They've been stealing it though.
Yes.
We've been sold out a long time ago. Why you think Michael's not with us? Rest his soul. But they've been doing that shit.
But,
and
yeah.
I just think that we need to create our own things. We need to have things for ourselves.
And there
we need to be the change.
Yeah, we're not saying that it's not out there like it's dead, bone dry.
No,
out here.
We're not saying that at all, because there are people that are out here trying, mm-hmm. just like us. Mm-hmm. There are people that are out here trying, moving numbers, doing numbers, mm-hmm. and doing the things for our community, raising awareness, raising money, mm-hmm. you know, opening up holistic facilities, opening up mental health facilities for mm-hmm. us. For black people, there are people doing that.
I don't know if this is like a shameless plug or anything like that, but my cousin, shout out to Kevin. Y'all know Kevin. He's been on the podcast before.
Why would it be shameless?
Shameless plug?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, because I don't have any shame about plugging this product.
Oh, okay. Carry on.
But, him and a group of his colleagues, friends, they're all black. They're starting this line. It's called Why Black Doctors. There's a website. They got a website up and running. But we need more black doctors out there. They're raising awareness. This is a movement. Like, we need more black doctors. We need, this goes into black businesses. Black doctors, you know, well, doctors, period, can have their own practice. You know what I'm saying? Like, I walk into the doctor I go to, they've created a business. They've created their own practice. There's four doctors in there, and they bought this building, and they're working out of it. They're seeing patients. And we as black people can do the same thing. But like I said, it's called Why Black Doctors, and they've got shirts. They've got sweatshirts. It's really big, this movement that's going on. When he comes back on the show, I'm going to have him talk about it a little bit more. But that's one thing, you know, that's out there. That's seeing something, a void that needs to be filled, and they're filling it. And I'm so proud of him. I think it's so dope that this is happening. Go on, there's on Instagram, I think it's Why Black Docs. They've created a hashtag. They have an Instagram page, and they list their reasons of, you know, why, like, it's Why Black Doctors, because blah, 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 this, that. They're raising awareness, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
My doctor's black because a white doctor can't tell me shit about this black body.
Exactly. So we're not, it's out there, but
I already have a black doctor. So if you don't have a black doctor, then you may need to switch to a black good doctor that can share similarities.
No, just period. Go to the doctor. Like, I don't think it's enough black people going to the doctor.
Yeah, but when you do go to the doctor, don't go to a white doctor that's going to tell you to amputate your feet. Because they don't know what the hell they're talking about. Not when a black person can, you know, knows a little bit about your body because they have the same body as you and they have the same kind of chemical makeup as you. I wouldn't suggest going to a white doctor, not unless you just absolutely had to. But you need to go, you want to be around like-minded people, you need to be around doctors that are like-bodied. If that's the thing. But yeah, with that being said, I have something else. Everybody knows about the website Expressions 87. Mm-hmm. We have some new content coming. And if you like do anything for, you know, the culture, anything for a community, or if you sing, or if you have any type of extra talents that you would like to showcase, just email me at destiny@expressions87.com and we can see what we can do about putting you on. And yeah, that's all I got.
Yeah, I don't really have anything else. Like, I love black people so much. I love the different shades, the different sizes. When black people get together, it's a beautiful thing, I'm telling you. Like, and now more than ever, to grow up in this era, to see the changes that are being made, to see black people finally stop being afraid to talk about race because it's going to make white people uncomfortable wherever they may be.
Fuck white comfort.
It's a beautiful...
Fuck everybody's comfort.
It's a beautiful
thing.
If
you made it to feel uncomfortable, you need to say something about it.
Because I've noticed, too, that white people talk about... They'll tell you how
you made them feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And they'll tell you why you're not going to do this today on this Friday or this Saturday or this Tuesday.
So
they'll tell you. So black people, we need to get up off our asses, stop holding everything that we have, all of our eggs in these presidential elections baskets. And we need to do shit for ourselves. Mm-hmm. If you don't see the change, make the change yourself. If you can't find no job, make a job yourself. Reach out. There are people who are willing to help, including us. Mm-hmm. And if you need to know how we did it, we'll gladly tell you so you can do it too. But we need to be the change. So, yeah.
Well, thank you for listening. As always, you can find us at 2PartsLife. That's the number 2, PRTSLIFE. Everywhere, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're on SoundCloud, Podomatic, iTunes. We're on iTunes. Like us, subscribe, leave comments. 2PartsLife@gmail.com.
And all the episodes are actually on Expressions 87 as well. So if you don't want to go to all those platforms, we have our Twitter and Instagram and all the episodes on Expressions 87.
All right, black people, love you.
Love you. Bye.